Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, welcome back. Apparently, we were thrown off a little bit, and I have no idea why we were starting late, but, it's growing pains on my part since I've only been broadcasting off of Red State Talk Radio since the end of January. So, looks like, February, March, April, 4 months now. And so, I know a lot of people this weekend are doing pre-recorded or they're just doing re-recordings, but I'm actually live. I'm live today, and I'm going to be live on Monday. So if you want, the phone lines are open. If you've been jonesing to talk to somebody else, we're centric about the Constitution. I won't be rude, but I will kind of go through the expectations I have as a host for the show. But first off, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I have a lot of information on that website, as well as MobiusStripPress.com. You can get my books from the MobiusStripPress.com, as well as some other content. I have a lot of articles that I need to get posted up there. And, I'm just on that highway to hell of good intent with no exits. And so I excuse the expletive, but that's an adage. And so, anywho, it's not necessarily acceptable, but anyway, it's an adage, so I will just move on. You are listening to the only constitutional show that actually has a constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. If you don't believe that assertion, then call, and we'll kind of walk you through it. I also will let you know that this show is literally dedicated to the getting elected of state legislators who are committed to supporting the Constitution and calling for an audit. So we are going out of our way to getting those people elected. And that is because they're working in doing this. They'll be working to save their citizens from federal tyranny. I also support those grassroots leaders in every county in this nation. So if you're a county chair for the GOP, the Central Committee for the GOP or the Republican Party in your state, in your county, in your state, then by all means, this show is really for you as well, because I talk about what has to happen, the little bit of a shift that if maybe you're doing this, by all means, call me. I got, I don't want to say excoriated, but I was, somebody took an offense to an email that I sent out about getting their counties in shape. And they said, hey, I think I got a pretty tight ship running in our county. And maybe so. I don't know if they're really driving their employees, or I should say their public servants, but those public servants are representing them. And they're wearing their label, so they should be dictating what the focus and putting them on task for holding them to that focus. So I haven't had the conversation with that particular county chairman, but I hope to, and I hope to find out that, you know, he's actually doing those things. And maybe there's some things I can learn, because I don't know it all. But I do know that if we expect change and we keep doing the same thing over and over and getting the same results, then that's the definition of insanity. And so anyway, this show is, like I said, dedicated to the leadership and those state legislators in getting people to stand up and calling for an audit. Why? That is literally because we need them to protect all of us. So that's why I'm asking you, the listeners, to help support the candidates that actually sign the petition, or actually I should say the pledge, that they will do 6 actionable things while they're in session every year in moving the audit forward. If they fail to do that, if they fail to get people on board and other people to sign the pledge and so forth, they're not going to be reelected, and I'll be looking and working with the chairs in that state to actually get them replaced, because I don't take kindly when somebody tells me something and I help them, and then next thing I know, they were just basically using me so that they could get take advantage. And I don't think kindly of people that do that. And if that ever happens, you will hear how unkindly I take that. Anyway, there are lots of reasons why you want to download the podcast. The primary one is because this is the only show that asserts the constitutional solution. So you can download these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, my basic rules for calling in, because it's kind of like free question, free phone line Friday, all I ask is if you know me, please be confidential. So that's the first C. So I have a 3C rule, right? The first C is be confidential. Just call me GR. The second is be civil. I don't necessarily need hostility. I can be pretty hostile. I've spent 20 years in the Marine Corps and have learned the art of reading somebody the riot act. And so don't like doing that. I'd much rather have a civil discourse. And the third is I just ask that you try to be concise. I know when people ask me, give me the 30-second pitch of how you're going to save the Constitution. Well, that's almost impossible. I basically say, okay, well, read my book. There you go. That's less than 30 seconds. So it's unreasonable to expect somebody to really get something in, but a lot of times people have a hard time, and I am one of them, has a hard time in being really concise and getting to the point in a message. That's probably one of the reasons why I'm an author. I can be wordy or verbose in what I have to say or how I have to say it. Let me also point out that, at reclaimingtherepublic.org on the Take Action page, I actually have a video down underneath the slides for my presentations. You'll see slides for presentation one, slides for presentation two. Underneath that is a YouTube link that will actually take you to the Reclaiming of the Republic solution. It's a 30-minute video. Actually, it's, I think, an hour and a half, but just watch the first 30 minutes. Have your friends over, have a Memorial Day party on Monday, and watch that video. That is probably going to be that video will probably give you the best paradigm shift or make the biggest impact with you in understanding the Constitution and just how limited the federal government is. And they're continually telling us, these politicians, bureaucrats, and everything else, hey, we've made these laws and they're all constitutional. No, they're not. Over 80% of what they're doing is unconstitutional. So watch this video. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org website, and right there on the main page, on the home page, you will find my bullets, which is an academic argument for Republic Review, as well as the bullets that describe the process, as well as the flow chart. So you've got the keys to the secret sauce. The secret recipe is available for you of what we need to do. As always, I did do a scan through the news. I went through different sources. I just want you to know, as I even look out my window, and I'm doing it right now, there is no sign or news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So that means that we will have to do it. We're going to have to take action and take, because they're spending us into oblivion. They are continually running a deficit on things that they have no authority to spend money on. And whether you like that or not, maybe there's something that you're getting that might be nice. We have to buck up, buddies. I'll use the term man up. We have to human up, because there's women that listen to the show as well. Woman up, man up, I don't care, human up, and let's take responsibility for our own lives instead of going to the teat of government and asking them to basically nurture us as adults and people that should be providing for ourselves. So anyway, I do have an open question, but like I said, it is Open Question Friday or Open Line Friday, whatever you want to call it. So feel free to call in. And let me give you, I got 2 minutes before the break. So let me tell you this, that yesterday, all day or all through the show, there was another host that was commandeering the phone system. And they didn't know that I actually use the phone system. And I've actually had a few calls. You probably heard them. And so they were actually trying to have a conversation in the middle, and I was disconnecting them. They were redialing in, disconnecting, and then they go, hey, I think he's using the phone. So anyway, so that's why I was a little disjointed yesterday, because you're trying to do something, and the last thing you're expecting is people to, you know, be plugging in or unplugging on you on an application. So anyway, thought I would let you know what was going on yesterday, because you heard me have to dial in a few times, and you deserve to know what happened. Anyway, we have the Red Pill Expo that is coming up in June. I have no idea what your big excursion is, but come to the beautiful Redoubt area June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. It is in Spokane. Go to redpillexpo.org. Look at those people that will be speaking. There is a sundry of topics and issues. Hopefully, most of them will be centric on the things. Well, I think all of them will be centric on most anything that people are interested in. But a lot of them will be very centric on what we need to do in fighting, you know, this multi-armed Leviathan that we are dealing with. And it's not just, you know, the federal government, it's the deep state, it's the globalist, and it's the Agenda 21, all of that type of stuff. So if you're interested in getting exposed, I believe you're going to be able to meet these people. I've never been to one, but I would presume that there would be some access or accessibility. I think that these people will be offering their books, so you can, Trevor Lawdon, you can get his books or his movies or what have you. But anyway, I would make your primary excursion this summer to the Spokane Red Pill Expo. Well, I'm at a hard break, and that means that I will be right back after a few words from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so we are live today. We're not playing a previous show. I know it's Friday before Memorial Day. So if you're wondering if you can call in because you didn't get a chance to call in on another show and you want to rant, well, just be concise. Remember my three C's. But anywho, I wanted to point out before I get into the New York ratification debates that I think it's really important if you live in a red county that you start actually wondering or looking at whether you are being represented. Because most of the states that have large population centers, even Wyoming, which is probably the least populated state that has population centers, they have gerrymandered their constitutional Republican form of government towards a Democratic form of government. And I know that there's lots of people that are starting to recognize in Wyoming, talking to several chairs, they're not happy with the fact that their county has no representation. They have to share their representation with portions of other counties or a few other counties. And that's not how it's supposed to be. The counties are their own seat of government. They have their own interest, and they do not have the same interest. So a good example is if you look at some of the counties in Wyoming, there's mountainous areas. There's some areas that are, you know, heavily owned by the federal government, or I should say unconstitutionally owned by the federal government, such as the parks of Yellowstone, Teton, and those areas. And so those counties have to share their representative, maybe with a Plains County or what have you. And so their interests, their requirements, and needs are different. However, if you look at how those legislators and the legislative districts are managed, they're not managed by the county. That is precisely how the Republican form of government was originally intended. That is why every state in the union reconfigured their state legislative bodies into bicameral legislative bodies where they had a senator that was appointed to represent the county, and then the people elected their own county representative. They were guaranteed a minimum of a representative, and the counties that had a higher population had more, but instead of making it an even division and allowing them to gerrymander so that they could create districts that would be more favorable towards one party or another. And the Republicans, as well, the established Republicans at the top level in the legislative branch, as well as the Democrats, have basically allowed themselves these types of privileges in gerrymandering. And you've got to stop this. You have to start demanding. If you look at your county and you're not getting that representation, then you need to start demanding that your state start abiding by Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. You are guaranteed representation in your state, and you're not getting it if you have to share your representation with somebody of another county. I'll give you a case in point. California is beaten up big time when you look at the representation, because there are 10 counties that have to share their senator as well as their representations. They have two representatives. And so how can one representative or one senator actually represent all of those counties? They only live in one, and they only really know the details of one. How do they really know what's going on in those other counties? That was why they made a Republican form of government that was based on the sub-elements of the Republic to ensure that those people within that state, within that county, were being represented. They abhorred the concept of population centers dictating how the rest of the state, how the rest of the country was going to live. That's why we have Electoral College. And that's why we have a Republican form of government, because they abhorred what one would call democracy, or the pure democracy of letting the population rule. And your children that are graduating out of school, or your children's children, hopefully you have children or children's children, but the point is that they are learning that democracy is the only way to go, and they're being taught to, when they get a chance to elect, or I should say vote in the elections, then your children are going to proudly surrender their liberty because they are not learning contrary. The education system is an indoctrination system to basically get very specific results. I can tell you, if you go back and listen to my interview with G. Edward Griffin, he said that when he graduated, I think he was born in the 30s, so he graduated in the 40s, and he was indoctrinated to collectivism. He was basically saying that he was taught in the education system that collectivism or communism was good. I can tell you, when I graduated in the 70s, I was trained and educated or indoctrinated to be a, I'll call it a Democrat, but I had the same communist principles and ideals that were driven into me from the indoctrination center. And it wasn't until after I joined the Marine Corps in the 70s that I said, you know what, this is real. How did I learn this kind of crap? As I started reading the, because we were not taught all the details necessary to understand the Constitution. And there's a reason for that, folks. They don't want you to understand because they don't want you to challenge all the unconstitutional crap that they're doing. I don't care what you hear on any other show. I'm not going to be filtering the truth out of this show. I don't believe in unconstitutional government. I find that some shows, you'll find that they cherry pick. Oh, well, Mueller was unconstitutionally seated. Well, I can tell you that the whole Justice Department is unconstitutionally seated. I can tell you that 12 executive departments that are actually being exercised today are unconstitutional. The only constitutional ones are the state, treasury, and defense. That's it. So, anyway, let me stop this rant and let me kind of give you, because what I wanted to do is I kind of wanted to finish this high overview of what was going on in the New York ratification debates. And the reason why is because there's a lot of hyperbole and there is a lot of dialogue in these debates. In my Word document, it's like 700 pages. And it was amazing what they went through, because you got to remember, they only sent 3 delegates. Hamilton was going back and forth to New York. Hamilton was the only delegate, and I said this yesterday, he was the only delegate that signed it. The other 2 delegates were not there all the time either. So they didn't know that much about the Constitution and what some of these things meant. And so Hamilton was, for a lack of a better word, he was really focused more in trying to argue his academic schemes. And that's why, you know, the recorders or the reporters basically identified him as going into these rants. And it didn't help anything, because what people want is they wanted to understand clearly what this meant and what this meant. They didn't give a rat's behind about political theory, about governmental theory and those types of the civics and that type of stuff, especially in this theory case. Even though back then the primary understanding of the public was monarchies, democracies, those types of things, what these guys did in Philadelphia in this constitutional convention was truly, they forged a whole new government that had never been conceived before. And a friend of mine who is a lawyer was basically saying that they did a survey of the books that were available, the common education that was available to the framers in their education system, and what was going on that they knew about, because they had it's not like they had the internet or a phone call. Hey, what are you guys doing? And, you know, they had to write letters and so forth, and it took months to get correspondence. So news traveled very, very slow, and information was I don't want to even say filtered. A lot of stuff just wasn't captured unless it was really important, like these ratification debates and so forth. And so they didn't have the knowledge. And what this lawyer was telling me is that the amount of education and what they had and what they ended up creating with a bicameral legislative body, a separate judiciary, a separate executive, that was so innovative that it baffles the theorists in how these guys were able to create such a complex government out of what they did. And so maybe it was synergy, but every single one of the framers will tell you that it was the divine hand of providence that inspired them. As you can tell, I'm at a heartbreak, but we will be back in some overview of the New York ratification debates, and I hope you stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you very much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
I will tell you that as we were talking yesterday, before we had to end the show, I was talking about how they kind of agreed in New York that they were going to go through line by line of the Constitution, which actually several states did this. Virginia said they were going to do this, but they didn't. They were meandering all over the place. And so there were probably some critical things that they may have missed. But New York actually went through line by line. The problem was, and we'll get into this, there was not very good explanations. And so as they kind of progressed through the Constitution, they were literally dealing with portions and sections that they didn't know. And so one of the, like I said yesterday, prior to them receiving the word that Virginia had ratified the Constitution, which I believe they found the word, they got word July 2nd. And the interesting thing was back then they didn't celebrate July 4th. Guess who made that a national celebration? Thomas Jefferson, the author of the document himself. Anyway, kind of ironic, maybe self-aggrandizing. I don't know. Anyway, just interesting facts. So after they had gone through the Article 1, Section 8, and the powers of Congress, Treadwell made a suggestion, and he basically claimed that the proponents, or the Federalists, were claiming that things that were not expressly given in the Constitution is reserved to the states, was an absurdity. He just didn't see how that was clearly delineated. And therefore, he said, we need an amendment that basically states that those things not given or delegated in this Constitution are reserved to the states. And so there was a lot of people that wanted to make sure it was expressly stated. And the point I'm bringing this up is that it was clear that that's precisely what they wanted in that Article 10, whether Madison gave expressly or not. There was no dubiousness behind this. The states were delegating very specific powers. It was being told by the Federalists. They didn't understand that they were going through contractual debates and contractual definitions, that today in these times we can use those arguments as legally binding arguments for this contract, that every state that's joined this union can be, protected or can enjoy those definitions and enjoy those clarities provided by the original 13, because all states came in with equal footing. So anyway, Treadwell basically said, hey, you're full of you-know-what. That doesn't cut mustard. What we need is an amendment, because we don't trust any government. And it was kind of interesting because it goes back and forth between even in New York and in Virginia and a few of the other states where they said, well, shoot, the state of this state that we're in is a government and we surely and blindly trust it. Why are we not trusting this government that you're sending representation to? Anyway, so the arguments that came up in New York were a lot of duplications of what had already come up in a lot of these other debates. Is that because they were doing these things kind of in serial, that people were reporting on what was going on in this ratification, in this state's ratification and so forth, and they said, hey, that's a good idea, let's do that. Massachusetts was the first state to recommend amendments. And every state after that came up with recommendations to amendments of the Constitution as a part of the ratification. And I'll point out some other parallels or similarities between New York and Virginia as well. There was a Mr. G. Livingston Smith. So there were a couple of Smiths that were in the ratification debates, and he raised concerns over the structure and power of the presidency. And he was very concerned about the re-eligibility. Let's say if somebody leaves and does one term, can they come back and do another term? And it's because some of those things weren't discussed. They never talked about the term limits, because bottom line, the framers believed that the best term limits were giving the voters the ability to vote for their electors and dictating who would be able to continue in the service of the public. That was the methodology for term limits back then. They couldn't fathom the need for hard limits. And if you look, had they had hard limits, Madison would not have been able to serve as much as he did. Monroe and a lot of these, even John Quincy Adams, I believe, after he was president, he went back to the Senate and served the rest of his life as a senator. We would not have been able to have his contributions as an abolitionist fighting slavery in the Senate all that time and gaining strength and momentum for the abolitionist movement had we had hard term limits. And so there's some dangers in creating hard term limits and thinking that all elected officials are equal. No, you have to come up with good processes. And I will tell you that going back to this county thing and having counties start owning the brand and working together with other counties and, you know, forcing the state to start getting serious about taking their brand back and making sure that those who are representing their brand, I don't care how nice or how handsome or beautiful that representative or senator is, if they're not toeing the line and supporting the Constitution, very specifically supporting the Constitution, then get rid of them. I don't care if they've got an R next to their name. Make them take the challenge and or make them take the pledge. And if they don't fulfill the pledge, then get rid of them. I'm pretty simple. I'm a simple guy, I guess. I'm a simpleton. Anyway, after they went through this presidency and the responsibilities of the presidency to Congress, then they basically introduced and defended 9 resolutions to restrain the judiciary. In other words, they had real concerns over how limited the jurisdiction of the judiciary was. So they understood that these things would be threats. And as they sold this, just like as Madison said in the Virginia debates, and as they talked about in the New York debates as well, Nicholas and all these different Federalists were basically saying, no, no, no. The federal government, which means the judiciary, is limited to those cases or those enumerated powers within the Constitution. They can't be making decisions on education. They can't be making, because there's no power delegated to the federal government on marriage, education, health care, none of those things. It is outside their jurisdiction. They have no authority to have that entertained in their court. Those are strictly state issues. However, the Federalists, Nationalists, Globalists, and all of these evil people continually allowed these things to come up. They hoodwinked us, just like John Marshall did. Oh, yeah, we can do anything we want to. After these documents clearly stated they couldn't. And so we've been lied to and we've been duped by very nefarious people. They may have been decent people, but what they did was evil, because now they've been running rickshaw over us and convincing us that they can do these things. And that's why this show is so important, because I am telling you the evidence is overwhelming that it is an ironclad case. The federal government has been violating the Constitution for well over a century. Anyway, going on, they, after Article 1 and Article 2 and Article 3, so Article 1 is the definitions of the legislative and the powers and roles, responsibilities, and those types of things. Article 2 is the president and how he gets elected, those processes and his roles, responsibilities, and powers. Article 3 is the judiciary. So Article 4 is where they kind of grant Congress some additional responsibilities and the federal government some additional responsibilities. And then Article 5 is the amendment process and the amendment protection clauses. At the very end of Article 5, most people don't know this. I talk about this, about the 17th Amendment, how the 17th Amendment violates Article 5. Because if you read that, there are two types of amendments that could not get passed. One was prior to 1808, they could not amend the Constitution to get rid of the slave trade. And so the 10 northern states wanted to make sure that they could start shutting down the slave trade, and they basically had to delay that to 1808. Anyway, the second part of the Amendment Protection Clause was that no state shall lose its equal suffrage in the Senate without its consent, and the 17th Amendment violates that. I've talked about this on my show before, so that's one of the reasons why you need to go and listen to that conversation on the 17th Amendment. As you can tell, I'm out of time, but I've got more for you with regarding the Constitution and the New York ratification debates when we get back. Thank you very much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Let me let you know that what we've got going on out here in Washington, and it's actually affecting Oregon, Idaho, Alaska, and Montana that I know of, the utilities commissions of these states are allowing the company called Avista, which is a company providing power for all of these companies, or I should say all of these states and their dams, their hydroelectric dams and their power generation, to be sold to Canada. And so Canada is planning on raising the rates as they purchase up utility companies, and they're going to start taking the profits from charging Americans for our energy consumption, us greedy Americans, so that they can improve their hospitals, their education system, their transportation, their basic infrastructure services. And so there's been this huge push to try to stop this. And it seems like some of these states are taking a complete deaf ear, these utility commissions. And this is the danger of the deep state, that as it is permeated through these different liberal organizations, it is very dangerous that all of a sudden you could be sold to a Canadian energy company. And oh, by the way, they're only owned 40% or 49% of this company is owned by Canada, or I should say the Ontario Premier, or the entity there, the people. Apparently, 51% is owned by other unknown sources. They're trying to figure out who those sources are. Somebody, I have not heard any accuracy to this, but somebody's saying that China owns a big percentage of the Ontario. It's called Hydro One. And so once this goes through, there's no doubt in my mind they're going to be trying to buy up other utility companies in America. And oh, by the way, the executives on the Avista side in America are going to be receiving like $50 million for exiting, you know, their business. Bottom line, the executives will go away because a new company's taking over and they got their own executives. So there's a lot of people getting rich as they start forcing, because as I've learned this and as they've kind of peeled this onion back for me, that basically is forcing Canada, because remember, Canada is in this carbon trade now, and it's going to force them to start increasing their carbon taxes. And so guess who they're going to be passing that on to as well? There are going to be huge prices to pay as this stuff starts rippling through. So if you want to kind of help stop the Hydro One deal, then by all means, the information is on my Take Action page on Reclaiming the Republic. You don't have to live in these states to help, but this will be happening in almost every state, because I'm telling you, these types of things grow legs when all of a sudden they come up with a way of sticking it to people. They figure out, well, let's do this and share this with everybody. So these types of bad ideas are coming to a place near you unless we all help each other in stopping these things. So anyway, all you got to do is send an email to the UTC of the state of Washington. I think there is the UTC, we got till Wednesday the 30th. So if you want to help, just send an email to the UTC of Washington State, the Utility Transit Commission. And so help us and we can help you. Because bottom line, if we can stop this now and not affecting Alaska, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Montana, then it will hopefully not happen near you. If you do know about something like this happening in, you know, Canada trying to buy up your utility so that they can, because they're being taxed to death, and supposedly I thought they had a great economy, but apparently socialism isn't working, so they got to use American capitalism to bail them out. That is repugnant. We need your help. So go to the Take Action page, get the email, and you can also get the forms and so forth, but or call and just, you know, land base them. Anyway, as I was just talking about, as they went through the Article 1, Section 8, they went through the Articles 5 and 6, or 4 and 5, and then when they got to 6, they actually proposed a couple of amendments, two amendments for Article 6. I'm not sure if you knew this, but almost every state in the union did not like Article 6 and the no religious test. I believe it was unanimous. I think maybe one state did not demand a religious test for public service. Did you know that? Did you know that all of the states wanted to maintain religious tests for public service? But the Constitution, Article 1 or Article 6, Section 3, basically demands that no religious test can be given for anybody seeking public service. So I'm paraphrasing, but that basically is what it says. And New York even wanted to ensure that religious tests were going to be applied. I want to say it might have been South Carolina, and that's just because they didn't ratify, and their process of going through it, they didn't, you know, the Bill of Rights was already kind of coming through, and their recommendations for amendments was really more academic and or moot, I should say, because the Bill of Rights was all, like I said, Madison had already done the Bill of Rights, and they were just basically saying, okay, we got to rubber stamp this, or we're going to become a problem because Georgia is already ratified, North Carolina is ratified, and we're in between, and they're going to make our lives miserable, which probably would have happened. I think Rhode Island was the same way. They knew that their lives would be miserable, if they didn't ratify, because they would be outsiders. They'd be foreign nations, and a very small foreign nation for Rhode Island, right? Anyway, they also suggested that a Bill of Rights, and Lansing, as a matter of fact, who was the delegate in the Constitutional Convention down in the Independence Hall, Lansing was one of the delegates, and he heard Mason, and he basically was echoing Mason, and he kind of took the George Mason approach, why he didn't sign the Constitution, and basically said it has to be prefixed to the Constitution. They wanted to make that a prerequisite for the ratification. And as a matter of fact, Lansing submitted a plan, and this was, again, after Virginia had already ratified. These guys were still kind of railing, we got to stop this. And so what he tried to do in his amendments was basically create three types of amendments, where they had amendments in each section. First was an explanatory amendments, where they wanted the Federalists or whomever could explain what some of these things meant, because he didn't know, because he wasn't there. They wanted some conditional amendments. In other words, these amendments have to be done if they're going to ratify. And then he had recommendation type of amendments. And so this was all basically submitted, and there was a lot of volleying back and forth, but nothing had gained any traction as they were going through. Trying to vote on this. Okay, nah, that didn't pass. Tried to vote on this. No, that didn't pass. John Jay, who wrote the second article of the Federalist Papers, I think that was one of the only ones he wrote, he suggested two resolutions. First off, that the Constitution be considered outright and be ratified by the convention. And then the second, he basically thought that if there needed to be anything explained or whatever amendments deemed useful or expedient ought to be recommended and not conditional. And so there was a lot of banter back and forth. And so what Mr. Smith, I forget his first name, but anyway, it wasn't the same Mr. Smith that I just mentioned before, where G. Livingston Smith, it wasn't him, it was the other guy. The other Smith. Anyway, his recommendation was, quote, resolved that the Constitution under consideration ought to be ratified by this convention upon condition. So they did this up front in Virginia. Before they even started ratifying the debates, they wanted to create all these conditions. And so they were well into the debates. They had already found that Virginia, it was almost academic, as I told you yesterday. And so it was very interesting how they were all of a sudden making these last-ditch efforts to try to stop or make it conditional to force these Bill of Rights and everything else. Lansing kept on railing for a Bill of Rights. And actually, as you go through, I can go through all of these, but what I want to do is I want to tell you that they ratified the Constitution with a 30-27 in favor for the Constitution, because I'm almost out. I got 9 seconds, and I'm going to tell you about what's going on next week and so forth. I want to let you know that 9 of the delegates, so the ratification of the Constitution was doomed in New York, by the way. And so it was doomed because there were too many people that were gerrymandered into the delegates, but 9 of those delegates were persuaded in changing their position. That's it for this week for the terrestrial stations. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back after this goes out. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. And so with that, I want to tell you that next week I'm going to be interviewing Jeanette Finnegan of Lavoie Finnegan's wife, the widow, and talk about her law case and what's going on. I also wanted to get into the books and all those things, that how you can support her. I'm hoping to get Mr. Danby and a few other people. We will be back next week, and I will be live on Monday if you want to call. Thank you so much.